Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And it were very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Wow. All right. That was fun.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button, of course, so you can keep up with the entire series. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists, discover some new ones. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Also, don't forget to give the series a rating. Leave a review if you feel so inspired. That always helps out so much. And we've had some great guests on lately, including actress Danielle McDonald. She's part of the show The Tourist on Netflix with Jamie Dornan. Sheryl Crow was here. Desi Lydic of The Daily Show. William Reed of The Jesus and Mary Chain. We hung out with the Veronicas. Actor John Bradley from Game of Thrones. Adrian Linker, the lead singer of Big Thief. Anna Camp from Pitch Perfect. Chris Robinson of The Black Crows. Luke Hemmings from 5 Seconds of Summer. Actors Nick Robinson, Tom Payne, Joe Keery from Stranger Things and Fargo. And of course, our recent 900th episode special featuring Brandon Flowers of The Killers, Gracie Abrams, Michael C. Hall from Dexter, Dolly Parton, Michael Shannon, Sarah Silverman, Shelley Hennig. Again, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, my old buddy, Gary Clark Jr. We've known each other since, I think, about 2012. We'll talk about that here in just a few moments as well. But he's one of my favorite musicians, one of the great, not just guitarists out there. He kind of came up in the blues scene and then instantly became so much more than that. He is a fantastic songwriter, and he has a brand new record called JPEG Raw. That is, he'll tell you, it's his symphony. It's a multi-genre symphony. We're going to talk about the emotional roller coaster of the past few years that led up to this, from being burnt out after 2019's This Land to the energy he found after that year's Grammys and decision to make a party record at that point, to the defeating nature of the pandemic and the joy of his second child that they brought. Gary's going to reveal the dreams he has, like actual sleeping dreams, of being a conductor of a symphony and how that influenced the songs, finding the love of music that originally sparked when he was 12 while listening to folks like Steve Vai and Eric Johnson, honing in on his chops after being called out by Robert Glasper and Esperanza Spalding, and recording with Valerie June and Nala on his latest sets. You're going to get all that and more. We're talking JPEG Raw. It's Kyle Meredith with Gary Clark Jr.
What's going on, man?
Been a little bit. How have you been?
Oh, man. You know, it's been a roller coaster. It's been, like everybody else. But hey, it seems like we're back out here doing it. We're getting after it.
Yeah. You got a brand new record, JPEG Raw. It's powerful. There's so many new sounds on it. I mean, I always love what you're doing. I was thinking, like, we, of course, go back to, I don't remember the year, it was South by Southwest. Well, your first EP, I think it just came out, and
oh, it's Maybe 2012.
That's what I was thinking, 2012, in a little hotel room.
Yeah.
A little over a decade ago.
Oh, man.
And
jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And you've been doing it every single time. And again, this new record, you know, it does. Sure, there was a pandemic in the middle and the new record came out in 2019, but it's still like, did you step back a minute or have you been working on this the whole time?
All right. So October 2019, I said to everybody, my crew, I said, hey, guys, I'm burnt out. I'm exhausted. I need to go spend time with my wife and my kids. So, you know, they recognize me as like dad and not that dude who just like pops up from time to time with a suitcase and a guitar. You know what I mean? So I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that, you know, and then fortunately we got nominated for Grammys. So January of 2020 comes and Grammys are hype. I'm on stage with the Roots and I'm like, we get off stage. I got three trophies and I'm like, bet, let's go get it. 2020 is going down, baby. Right. My daughter's born February 21st. Beautiful, right? My little baby, Ella, amazing. A couple weeks later, March, everybody needs to sit their asses down for a minute. I was like, oh, no. Okay. So something that I really wanted was a break, was now we're all being forced to sit in time out. And so I'm sitting here with a new baby, two younger children. And after a while, I was like, all right. I'm going to have to like step away and I'll be right back. So I go to Guitar Center and I like buy up like all kinds of gear. I make a little mini makeshift studio in this small room in this house we're staying at. And I set it up there and it's just over. And the first thing that I start working on is, well, I'm setting the thing up, playing guitar, whatever, just making sure everything works. I wake up the next day. And in my dreams, I have these dreams of composing this like symphony, you know, conducting an orchestra. And I'm that guy, right? Everyone's got my music on the charts, written, composed by, right? Sir, at some point, I don't know if there's no reason, I'm all of a sudden sir. So I wake up and I go, all right, I'm going to record this. And it's the string part. It's the beginning part of this song. This is who we are. And so I put that away. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I make a beat, you know, play some guitar over it. I'm like, that's cool, whatever. Cut to a year or something later, I'm with Jacob Skiba, who I've worked with before, producing partner, writing partner, arrangement partner. And he's over at my house. I'm going through all these beats. And he goes, what's that? And I go, I don't know. And he goes, no. And I keep kind of strolling through. He goes, what is that? And I go, I don't, it's just something that I made when I was in California, you know, a year ago, my daughter was made. He's like, you need to hang on to that. That's something right there. And so I guess I didn't realize it. Long story short, I didn't realize I had been working on this album from March, you know, April. And then I wasn't really thinking about making an album at this time. I come back to Texas, everybody's hiding out. Slowly but surely, we start hanging out with each other, like, you know, the band. I start, for some reason, I pick up a hobby. I'm the barbecue brisket guy. I'm thinking I'm going to have a food truck, ride around in the truck with that leather apron on and all my tools. Like, I'm thinking this is going to be my future, like Clark BBQ or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
So, you already got the name.
yeah, I was going. We the band started coming in and we were just working on stuff just to be working on stuff because we miss playing music. Also, another note, I had changed over band members like the day before everything shut down. So I get back to Texas and I'm like just sitting there by myself because everybody's on lockdown. I'm like, what the heck? So I ended up rehearsing with this band for months, like till November or something like that. Anyway, we didn't realize we were working on an album until the label and management called and said, hey, what are y'all doing down there? It's like, oh, I guess we got to get it together. I guess we got to get it together. So last year we started getting serious.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Gary Clark Jr. That is interesting because it starts to make sense a little bit more why this album sounds like it did. And you had started in this direction with the album before that, with this land. But hearing, like right away, like I'm looking at that first song, Maktub, and
yeah,
like my first thought was, man, this sounds like what Bambino does. This sounds like the East African guitar, African guitar, maybe it's not East, but what he's doing down there. And, you know, and I don't hear anybody over here trying that. And that's just how the album starts. It's not like you even copy that afterwards and go back. Like, that's not the sound of the album. That's just like, where was that exploration coming from? Because we go from this African guitar to lots of jazz. And of course there's blues and soul in there. There's rock. And I feel like there's just about anything you could try to, you know, do, which you've always done. I mean, you've always been a multi-genre artist, but there's something more, I want to say playful, but it feels very serious at the same time with this record.
Yeah, I turned into a 12-year-old kid again. And I realized that I kind of went a certain direction. I was like, as a kid, I was kind of tailored towards this blues thing. And in secret, I was listening to Steve Vai, For the Love of God. It was one of my favorite songs of all time. I was watching Eric Johnson, you know, on Austin City Limits when I was a kid, when he'd play, you know, the song SRV from Stevie Ray Vaughan as tribute to him. Cliffs of Dover, one of the most beautiful instrumental pieces of guitar work ever, you know? So as a kid, I'm sitting there, I'm freaking out over this, but then I'm doing a Bad Buddy Guy impression down on 6th Street, you know? But at home, I'm like tapping, and they're at the blues clubs, they're like, we don't do that over here. I show up with an Ibanez Blazer and like a 60-watt crate something, and they're like, what the hell are you gonna do with that, kid? And I'm like, I don't know. They're like, you need a Strat or a Les Paul or something. You need an ES something. Get that out of here, you know? So in this pandemic, I was just like, all right. First of all, I was watching old videos of myself, I'll be honest. And I couldn't handle it. I was like, I'm just doing these nasty, distasteful, stomped out fuzz, bad pentatonic, technical, really whatever runs, just because I'm nervous and I don't know what else to do. And I haven't figured out how to express myself in another way. Like watching Eric Gales and Joe Bonamassa, I started to understand modes. And I'm sitting here watching these young kids on YouTube and I'm going, I don't know shit, dude. I don't know anything. So I just turned into a kid again. I was like, I've been getting away with this for so long. Like, thank God. Thank you. You know, but I got to take this guitar playing stuff seriously. So, you know, I realized that I've been in rooms with Wayne Shorter, Robert Glasper, Esperanza Spalding, and I've been called out. I was exposed. I was like, oh, no, this ain't Antones no more. You know what I'm saying? This ain't the Three Chords in the Truth gig. You got to get in there and get after it. So I really spent the time learning different things and listening to all types of music and soaking that up and interpreting that in my own different way. So like a song like Maktub, I was sitting in the studio with Jacob Skiba and we're listening to all this West African stuff, all this guitar music. And I didn't realize that I was subconsciously even figuring that out. So when I'm playing an open G, I start going, oh. And then he told me like a month ago, he goes, I tricked you. I was manipulating you into this whole thing. I was waiting for Maktub to come. You don't even understand. It's like, you're going to talk about being the blues. You got to get to the roots and the roots and the roots, roots, roots of the blues. And that's over there. He's like, you know that. I go, yeah, but we're all focused on the Delta and, you know, that and the Muddy Waters. You know, that's kind of how we see the beginning of this in African-American music in modern society and culture. That's kind of the roots of us. Like, you know, that goes from that to Elvis. Right, but like, what about way over there? And then cats, you know, and those scales and those harmonies and those melodies and those rhythms. Like, you hear a shuffle, it's the same thing as boom. Well, you know, Jimmy Reed. What? It's like, there's no holding me back now. There's no holding me back. I'm doing whatever I want, you know? And I'm really going to get inside this music and try and understand all of it. So I just I wasn't making a music as Gary Clark Jr. I was making a music as a dude who's in love with self-discovery again, you know, and being curious and not doing it for the views or the looks or the opinions or anybody. I was just doing it because I fell in love with it again and nobody was watching. It was amazing.
I mean, the greats, like I'm thinking of like Bela Fleck, he did something, you know, when he took the banjo and traced the roots back to Africa and what that opened up for him. And I think, and by the way, of course you're selling yourself short because everything that you've done up to this point has always been so impressive to all of us and mind-blowing at moments. But, and I appreciate your humbleness, but let me be the one to compliment you. But that line, and maybe I'm taking out of context here, but that line, and this is who we are when you say, I'm not who you think I was, like, starts to just say everything. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Gary Clark Jr. The line turned tragedy to triumph, you know, as we're talking about the music on one side and that line from This Is Who We Are, but turned tragedy to triumph. I mean, that sounds lyrically like the other side of this album. That, like, that's the kind of mantra is the right term for it at this point, but that feels like that's what kind of sums up where your head was at on the lyrical side. Is that close to the truth?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, we are in a state of unknown, you know, and there was a lot of a tragedy. It was tumultuous. It was anger, sadness, confusion, devastation, and loss. So to be somebody who has, for the most part, a positive outlook, like, I still believe in us. You know what I mean? I still do. And I want my kids to believe in us. So I was in a state where I was like, I don't know what the heck's going on either, but I don't want my kids at this young age to be constantly living in fear because mom and dad don't know what's going on. So we got to be our own cheerleaders. And also, you know, if something was to happen to me, I keep saying this, but like, God forbid, like, I want my kids to know that this is kind of my MO and my outlook. And I would hope you guys would kind of see this and feel like you can do what it is that you want to do or not feel detoured by loss or miscommunication or, you know, just something to pep you up. And I think we needed that. The song was originally, I went from like, I'm going to do a party record to I guess I am still the blues guy, you know? Because 2020, I was like, let's go, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be out here. I'm going to be dancing with Dua Lipa and, you know, I'm going to be like, that's how I was feeling on top of the world, right? And then you go, oh, okay, dang. Maybe this is me being forced to be true to what my calling is and how I interpret and play and express myself through music, which is wonder and then a sense of hope. And then there's songs like Don't Start, where you just want to, you get so frustrated, you want to kill a dude. You know, but for the most part, Turn Tragedy to Triumph is, that's kind of my whole thing, you know? That's kind of my whole thing. I try to see things as loss or, you know, for the most part, there is some sort of lesson, I feel like. There is some silver lining. So that's just kind of, that was for me and for anybody who needs it and for my little kiddos. The main line is, when they call you out for dumb shit, that's when you grow up. You know, that's when I really wanted to soak up. Because it took me a while to get that. I was like, oh, man. All right.
The lyrics are great on here and the stories you're telling. I mean, I'm looking over here at the track. By the way, Don't Start. It really is fun hearing you and Valerie do, if you call that a revenge song, but it feels like a revenge song. I mean, it's a fun to listen to. But also, you know, how can I not bring up, you know, you're talking about being called out, but it's not like you ran away from, you know, our heroes, because you've got Stevie Wonder on here. You've got George Clinton on here. Mm-hmm. You know, you were sampling the greats. You got Monk and maybe Miles sampling on this stuff. I mean, again, I don't know what you can say about that, but, you know, not from just sampling, but being in the studio with greats like that, which of course you have before, but what was it like to write with them, to record with them?
Oh, well, the thing with Valerie June was, that was already kind of an established thing And I knew pretty much straight from jump that I wanted her to sing that. I mean, she just got this really unique voice and that Southern twang, you know, along with that gritty dobro guitar, you know, the big backbeat. I was like, who else can sing this? She's got to sing it. But so, yeah, I just hit her up. She was gracious enough to lay that down. The real writing process for me was like a song like This Is Who We Are, like Nala. He came into the fold. I had sat there and written that song with a bunch of people. I'd sat there with my buddy Franchise. At one point, I was hanging with Citizen Cope. I asked my wife, which is like my last resort because she's super critical. So I'm like scared about bringing anything to her. And I was like, what do you think? And she's like, I know how you are. You must be really going through it if you're asking me, but no, you don't want this work right now. But so I said, for the writing process, I said, this is what I see. I see like a knight or like a young samurai in the woods, like fire, like going to slay the dragon or something, you know? And I could never really get it right. I wanted to sing, but when I was singing, it was too legato, too singy-singy. And then when I would start to fill in the words, then it was like, oh, you're trying to be a rapper. And so I really battled with that. I really battled with trying to tell the whole story without doing the blues cadence, you know, or doing what people kind of expected, like a bluesy thing. I was like, I got to tell more to the story. Otherwise, this is going to be a 20-minute song. So you're going to get these bars real quick, you know? And Nala was really helpful. That was the last one I think that I recorded. And that was the first song that I record, that I, you know, the first musical bed that I put down. So like 3.5 years later, here come these lyrics. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with it. I almost gave up on it, you know? But I really took my time and I went over every lyric and I had Jacob Skiba tell me, like, tell me if this is stupid or not. You know, tell me if this makes sense. I want to tell a story. Like I want to tell these little stories so you can see it. You can see the characters while you hear the soundtrack. Like that's kind of what I'm trying to do. And so yeah, I went through it. I went all the way crazy and back trying to figure out this vocabulary. You know,
this man and Habits is it's an opus musically, but I mean the weight that happens in that song lyrically too. There's so many sounds on here, but there's no bagpipes that I realize. I don't think, but you have bagpipes, right?
Yeah, no, they're tucked away. Yeah, I don't think anybody needs that.
See, now that's the thing. If you can, like, there's a lot of things that a lot of people can pull off, but only a few people, like AC/DC, they pulled off bagpipes.
You know? That's true.
You got some of those Irish punk bands. They figured out how to do the bagpipe thing. You know, Dropkick Murphys. Like, don't knock it out. I'm kind of waiting for that. I really love to hear how you do that.
Okay, well, if I do that and it fails terribly, I'm going to show everybody this right here. It was him.
Just parenthetically titled Kyle's Fault. That's what I'll take.
Yeah, Kyle's Fault.
Man, seriously, this record is so good. It is so good, and I mean that. I can't wait to see how these songs kind of unfold live. That's always the best part of seeing you. Congrats, man. It's been great to catch up with you.
Likewise. Well, I can't wait to bring this out on tour and translate these songs live. We got a few switches, changes in the band, some additions, and I'm ready to rock.
My thanks to Gary Clark Jr. The new album is called JPEG Raw. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Again, hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week, doing every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you like this one, there's plenty more where it came from. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, or wherever you prefer to get your podcast from. That's where you can find us as well. And again, please do give this series a rating, leave a review wherever you're listening from. After that, head over to WFPK.org. It's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent episodes had some classics and favorites from the Smashing Pumpkins and the Smiths, The Jam, Local H, Ramones, Soul Coughing, Bat for Lashes, Coldplay, Jelenie, Araya, The Push Stars, David Bowie, Petula Clark, Etta James, Jerry Reed, James Brown, The Decemberists, The Rolling Stones, Shannon and the Clams, Bobby Bear Jr., Modern English, White Reaper, and my interview with British pop star Paloma Faith. Again, just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
We have to fast forward through this, speed it up.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.